The member for Mayo has written to the state's health minister urging him to expand COVID testing facilities in the regions. There were very long queues reported at the Victor Harbour facility yesterday, with people being turned away around 2 p.m. Rebecca Sharkey joins me now to discuss this and other issues in the region. Welcome, Rebecca.
Good morning. Yes, it's a big issue, the testing facilities right across our region, and they're all under the pump at the moment.
Yeah, so a lot of people having to get the test in the Fleurieu region because of the Wollonga exposure site. There was a big school assembly on Friday around 9:30 in the morning in which a lot of people were exposed potentially to COVID. So that means that it's been putting pressure on COVID testing sites. Last time we had an outbreak in South Australia before we opened the borders, there were considerable concerns with the amount of time people were having to wait. And this is something that you want the state government to get on top of.
Absolutely. So I was down at Victor yesterday and I saw the really long queues. Nowhere for people to sit, and we've got to remember half of the population in Victor is over 65 years of age, and so standing around for a couple of hours is really difficult. And then currently it closes at 1 o'clock, and that means from there people need to look elsewhere. The Aldinga facility is chock-a-block. People have told me at Mount Barker they're waiting for more than an hour and a half. Mount Barker closes in the middle of the day for half an hour so that the people working there can get lunch. None of us would deny them lunch, but we need to look at lifting these staffing levels, extending the times, because what we don't want to have is people finding that it's just, you know, physically impossible to get tested, either because they're waiting for, you know, hours and then told we probably won't get to you today, or that they need to drive elsewhere. I mean, it's a long trip. It's a good 2 hours plus if you're driving from Victor Harbour to Mount Barker. You mentioned we had all this before. It's a little bit like Groundhog Day. It was winter last time, and that made it worse for many people. But we just need to get on top of this, and we need to have a smooth system that works efficiently, that people are willing to go and get tested, because that's what we want to see people do, and make it as easy as possible for everyone to access services.
And you reckon as well designated outbreak areas, sites there?
Absolutely. We need to have pop-up testing stations where there's an outbreak. I mean, really, there should be one right in the heart of Wollonga at the moment. But recognising, you know, that the idea of getting down to a city testing site, who are also very, very busy, is near impossible. Look, I'd really like to do a shout-out to all of those who are working at these sites. They're, you know, at the front line feeling the stress of people who have waited for a couple of hours, in many cases, to be tested. And that makes their job so much harder too. I just think COVID's going to be with us for a lot, you know, further to come. We can't see an end in sight, so let's make sure that we get this right.
Rebecca Sharkey, the member for Mayo, is with us. Now, I understand you've been advocating, Rebecca, for an end-of-point treatment plant for South Australian growers when it comes to dealing with fruit fly. Tell us about this.
Well, this is a very exciting announcement and commitment by the federal government, something that I have been working on for months, if not years. I had a commitment from the minister a few months ago that they would look at investing in this. This is $15 million for a end-of-treatment facility, basically to ultra-heat the fruit that's going to export and to make sure that it doesn't have fruit fly in it.
Right.
We see ourselves as fruit fly free, that's a tongue twister, but places like Vietnam won't accept our fruit unless it's gone through a treatment facility. At the moment, that means our cherries, our apples, our fruit and veg, anything leaving South Australia has to go through Victoria and then be exported, freighted out. This is about making it a South Australian the whole way. It means our fruit gets to market much quicker, our vegetables get to market much quicker. There'll be a stack of jobs in this. And it's just another insurance policy in case we do end up. We've had a number of outbreaks of fruit fly, but in case, you know, things go not as we want to see them happen with respect to the pest, but to make sure that we can still continue to service those markets. We want to see this industry grow, and this is a really important investment from the federal government.
I mean, the Hills region seems to have remained relatively unscathed by the Metro and Riverland outbreaks over the past 2 years. Is that your understanding of the situation?
Well, look, it has been, but it has come very close to the foothills. It's been a little close to comfort for many of us. You know, around Campbelltown, there's been outbreaks, I think, you know, further down south, closer to the Coromandel Valley area. We need to make sure that we have a future for horticulture in our region, and this will be available not just for Mayo growers, but really right across South Australia. And rather than us, that cost as well as the time of getting our product over to Victoria and then exported out, it means we'll be able to do it all within our state. And so it's a really important investment. And thing is, you know, those little fruit flies, they don't recognise electorate borders or indeed state borders. And so I think it's a good investment for the future. We know that we've got Kew fly coming down off the east coast. We've got Met fly coming the other way from WA, and we are squeezed in the middle. It also is going to open up a lot more countries for us to export to as well. So, you know, we need to be able to... For many years, much of our growing industry were focused on China. They were really encouraged to export to China. Things have, you know, in some of our products, that's gone a little bit wobbly, but we need to make sure. Asia is a very big place. We've got Thailand, Vietnam, South Korea, Japan, you know, and they all have different protocols, but this facility will make sure that we're able to open those doors to more and more markets for our product.
And just lastly, Rebecca Sharkey, a good news story has emerged in the midst of the pandemic with the community banding together to help you reunite an Afghan couple.
Yeah, look, this is a love story that probably rivals Romeo and Juliet. One of the business owners in our community, he lived in Mayo, Steve Norton, has a business called Croplands. He has a worker there called Harris, who has been married for several years but waiting for that spousal visa for his wife, who was in Afghanistan. Her name is Muzgan, and we managed to get her out of Afghanistan safely to Australia via Pakistan, and after Muzgan came out of quarantine, she wanted to come and visit. So it was just beautiful to meet the couple, I wish them all the very, very best, as I think our whole community does. I'd like to thank the Minister, Alex Hawke, for working so closely with my office to make it a reality.
Fabulous. You have a lovely Christmas and festive season.
Thank you. Yes. Hopefully, I'm not too fussed if we just eat ham sandwiches on the day, as long as the weather's good and I can pull my feet up.
Beautiful. Have a good one. We'll talk next year, Rebecca.
Terrific. Thank you.